5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, live from high atop the Gow Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Fanatics, soccer fans, thank you for joining me here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM as we get you set up for what is a big week in soccer. We'll do a little bit of a review as well. The Houston Dash will be in action 7:30 on Friday night, taking on the Chicago Red Stars. And then Saturday night, it's the Houston Dynamo and the Portland Timbers. The Dynamo looking to make it two in a row. The Dynamo coming off a 2-1 win against Toronto FC. We'll talk about that tonight. We stream, as always, on YSR1560.com. It is HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets for both the Dynamo and the Dash. And, of course, you can get over and follow me at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, and also Facebook, Soccer Matters, to get all the information on Dynamo All Access and Soccer Matters over on our sister station, ESPN 97.5. So let's go to Toronto right now and do a little review. Owen Coyle, setting his team up a little bit differently, brings David Horst into the center back position, moves Raul Rodriguez into the right back position for Kofi Sarkodie. Tactical switch to get David Horst, I believe, matched up with the big, powerful Jozy Altidore. And that was a matchup that I think David Horst relished, and David Horst certainly performing well and having an outstanding season here this year, partnering with Jermaine Taylor. So that was a big piece of it. Also, the play of Luis Garrido in taking the edge off Michael Bradley, and the Dynamo midfield, quite frankly, very lively. Boniac Garcia, they got some good wide game from him as well. Alexander Lopez, and of course, Ricardo Clark. They won the battle of midfield for the majority of this game. The Dynamo getting a lot of road possession in what was a very important win, a 2-1 win. Boniac Garcia, penalty saved, stuffs in the rebound. And then the Dynamo would make it 2-0 with what was a remarkable goal, about a 70-yard run with Giles Barnes blown by Michael Bradley, blowing through that Toronto FC midfield, running right at the heart of the TFC defense, and then laying off the perfect pass to Will Bruin, who, by the way, still has something to do here with the goalkeeper narrowing an angle down. Will Bruin scoring a fantastic goal. That would make it 2-0. Now, changes would come for the Dynamo. Lando Miranda would come in. Zach Steinberger. The Dynamo would bring a number of players on later in this match. When Jozy Altidore scores, it becomes a little bit of game on. The Dynamo really controlling this game up until that goal. Little bit of energy came back to Toronto FC, and they put some pressure on. The only piece of criticism I would have on this night was that the Dynamo lost a bit of attention and concentration defending the set piece and defending corners. And if the Dynamo had come away with anything but a win in this game, it would have been a huge body blow. But in the end, they get it done for Owen Coyle. They will now look to platform that win with another against Portland at home this Saturday. Now, the Portland Timbers are going to come in here under Caleb Porter, and you will hear from him tonight on this show. You will hear from Diego Valeri on this show. You will hear from Owen Coyle on this show. You will hear from David Horst. You will hear from Raul Rodriguez. You will hear from Randy Waldrum. We've got you covered here tonight. There is no better coverage when it comes to getting it straight from the people who are on the field playing and the managers. So the Portland Timbers come in, and they come in after getting their superstar back, Diego Valeri. And it's one of those players from Argentina, number 10, a playmaker, that quite frankly, coming off an injury, an ACL injury, that changes a team's dynamic, brings a different level of confidence. They come off a confident-building victory in Montreal on the road, and it was Diego Valeri on his return to the lineup in prime fashion, bending a ball in to get the game winner. This will be interesting. I don't think there's any question. Caleb Porter will set his team up to defend a little bit deeper here based on what I saw in Montreal. He will look to break out. They do have the pace to break out through the likes of Darlington Nagbe, Diego Chara, Rodney Wallace. They got Adi up front, a big striker that can run and is a threat behind defenses. So this will be a real interesting sort of give-and-take balance between the Dynamo taking the game to the Portland Timbers, but also being very, very conscious that they can be very deadly and dangerous on the counterattack. So that will be this Saturday night. And then, of course, today in world soccer, it was Juventus knocking Real Madrid out. Now, Cristiano Ronaldo hits from the penalty spot in the 23rd minute. That would make it 1-0. And at that point, if that score remains the same, Real Madrid would advance. But it was Juventus. Alvaro Morata, in the 57th minute, would score the vital road goal. The game would end 1-1. Juventus would advance 3-2 over Real Madrid. And it is a huge, huge, huge moment for Juventus, who 9 years ago was playing in the lower divisions of Italy after a scandal. They are back in the Champions League final on June 6th. It will be in Berlin. They will take on Barcelona. But this was an amazing study in a balance of Italian organized defending soccer in front of a world-class goalkeeper in Gianluigi Buffon, and then applying pressure at the right moments in this game. And at the end of this game, they had about 48% of the possession. They actually had the clearer chances in this game and were unlucky not to score a second or third goal. A masterpiece from the Italian Juventus. They are in the final against Real Madrid. Now, the Houston Dash will be in action Friday. Before I get to them, though, Mauro, the Dynamo making a huge signing, and we're going to talk tonight also with the general manager, Matt Jordan, about that. Chicago, the Red Stars are in Friday night to take on the Houston Dash. The first 1,000 people will get a beer on Randy Waldrum, the manager, but get down there to check out the NWSL and the Houston Dash taking on the Chicago Red Stars. Joining us now is Randy Waldrum. Randy, let's get focused in on the Chicago Red Stars and this match on Friday night.
Okay.
Talk to me a little bit about what Chicago brings, where you guys are. You've had a number of different players moving in and out now, obviously, because of the Women's World Cup, so it is a bit challenging. But Chicago and other teams around the league have it as well.
Well, they do. Chicago's, you know, is missing players. All of us are now missing our World Cup players. They're off national team camp. But Chicago's going to be, they're at the top of the table right now, and he's got a very good team. I watched them play last week with their team, without their national team players, and I think one thing they've got going is they're really, really strong up the spine of their team. They've got two good center backs with Samantha Johnson. They've got the New Zealand center back, Urseg, is still here. She hasn't left for the World Cup yet. And he's got Calaprico and DiBernardo, two very good midfield players. And then two good strikers up top in Sofia Huerta and Jen Hoy. So they're a handful. I can see why they're at the top of the table right now.
And I think Chicago, coming off a 1-0 win against Sky Blue, making the most of their final game with their women's national team players, they're undefeated.
Yeah, undefeated, and it's really no surprise. I think Roy's done a good job of kind of, like we talked about, putting his second team together in terms of knowing what he was going to have when he was missing his World Cup players. So this is a real, real test for us. You know, I think one time, anytime you're playing teams that are ahead of you in the standings, really important not to drop points, and I think that's going to be a big game for us because we don't want to drop too far behind. I think they're sitting right now at 10 points, and we're sitting at 7 or somewhere in that neighborhood. We're with 4, so we don't want to drop another 3 points behind. We've got to close that gap and get into only 3 points behind them, you know, so I think it's going to be real important.
Randy Waldrum, the Houston Dash, joining us here. Again, they play Friday night against the Chicago Red Stars. You guys have picked up Tony Presley from the Western New York Flash. You've had injuries with Stephanie Oakes having surgery now. And, of course, Stephanie Roach went away to play with the Republic of Ireland. You got national team players going to the Women's World Cup. I mean, it really must be incredibly difficult to put a cohesive team together right now.
Well, it's been tough. We got Tony in today, so we got her into training today. and we'll have her training tomorrow, so she'll be in for a couple of days. But, Glenn, I think one of our biggest problems has just been defensively. We've been a little bit of a mess there, and unfortunately in the offseason wasn't able to make the moves we wanted in the back line. And now all of a sudden it seems like some of those opportunities have opened themselves up to us. So, unfortunately, we had to trade away to Ashley Nick, which I didn't want to do, but we've got to shore up the back line. And Tony's a great young player, and looking forward to having her. And I think the fans can look forward to maybe a couple of other moves here on the horizon for us that we're working on right now to kind of shore up that back line. So hopefully here in the next week we'll have that part completely solved for us.
Chicago Red Stars, what do you expect? And they've played a lot of their games at home. What do you expect from them on the road? Do you expect them to play an open game? And what is it like in the NWSL? Are teams tactically sitting back and inviting the home team in, or do they get after people on the road?
Well, I think it just depends on the coach. I don't think Roy will sit back on us. I think he'll go after us, especially they'll be confident. They're sitting at the top of the table. So I think he'll come out and play open. That's kind of his way. You know, some teams would come in here and sit and kind of wait and see. I think FCKC did that a little bit last week until they kind of got the game under their belt and they got that first goal, and then they opened things up a little bit more. But I would expect Chicago to come in full of confidence and kind of come at us. So that's kind of the way we're looking at it, unless he completely surprises me.
You're drumming up attention Friday. I really like this. The first 1,000 beers are on Randy Waldrum Friday night for fans age 21 and older against the Chicago Red Stars. It's BBVA Compass Stadium, kickoff 7:30. Randy, I'd like to make it up out front here. I'd like a Bud Light, please.
Okay. Hey, get there early then, Glenn, and we'll take care of you. You know, it really was one of those things we want to try to do to encourage the fans to get out. I just feel like if we can get the fans out one time, they'll come back. And this is a way to say for all those fans that haven't come seen the Dash play, maybe this will entice them to get to the stadium, and we're willing to kind of take that gamble and make that commitment to them. If they'll come out and give us a shot, I think they'll want to come back.
It's the way to do it. Let's get down there. Let's support the Houston Dash Friday night against the Chicago Red Stars. The match will also feature the Bud Light Houston Dash Beer Garden. So, look, it's going to be a great night down there. It's the best of women's soccer, the Houston Dash. It's the NWSL. It is Friday night at 7:30, and he is the head coach, Randy Waldrum. Randy, thank you for coming on the show, as always.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for having me. We'll see you there Friday.
You bet. Best of luck on Friday, Randy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll take a quick break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. So much more to come here tonight.
Presented by Bud Light on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 from high atop the Gal building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets for both the Dynamo and the Dash, and of course all the international content coming through BBVA Compass Stadium. Bud Light also reminds you that you got to take in this stadium. You got to take in your home teams, the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash. Get down to the stadium with like-minded individuals and support the home team. Bud Light, longtime sponsors of the great game of soccer and longtime sponsors personally of me on the radio. And I can't tell you how important they have been to the growth of soccer on the radio. And with that, well, it's our weekly visit with the manager, Owen Coyle. He joins us now after the Dynamo, a huge Toronto FC win on the road. Owen, thank you very much for coming on.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Glenn. Always lovely to chat with you.
Well, let's just get the thoughts from the manager after a great road win in Toronto. It's their home opener, and you guys went up there and really applied the plan.
Yeah, well, we did, Glenn, but we felt confident in the game. I think we did very well on the road, as you know. We drew at LA, drew at DC, and just a toll could have achieved better results in those games. So we went with certainly a degree of confidence. We were disappointed having lost a home game to San Jose last week, knowing that not that we should have lost the game, but we did. We'd actually played well, as you know, missed chances, missed a penalty. But it was important, as I said to the players, they didn't feel sorry for themselves, we didn't feel victims. And we had to stand up and be counted. And every one of them were outstanding. It was a great 3 points. And it gets us right back in the mix for where we want to be, and that's making it challenging to get into those playoffs.
a game, Owen, that I thought you guys really controlled the midfield for literally most of this match.
We did, but we realised, I mean, we realised that we were going to have to stop the quality of the ball into Altidore and into Giovinco, and obviously Bradley supplies a lot of that. So, as I say, we'd worked very hard on the training ground, and the players deserve enormous credit for how they adapted to how we're going to go about it. Garrido was terrific in denying that service, and then the two centre-backs, David Horst and Jermaine Taylor, stood up to everything that Altidore was going to bring. We moved, obviously, Raul Rodriguez into the right-back slot, and DeMarcus Beasley continued doing very well at left-back. So, all in all, it was a terrific team performance. But not only stopping them playing, when we had possession of the ball, we were very pleasing in the eye. We scored two goals, and if truth be told, we could have four or five. And again, that's all credit to the player.
Yeah, it was certainly, it was not a road game where you sat back and just absorbed it all night long. You had lots of good moments of pressure and lots of good moments of open play. That must have been pleasing for you on the road.
It was very pleasing. And another big thing with that as well, and as I said before, I thought Bonnie Garcia gave us a real outlet in terms of his attacking play, going and getting the fullbacks. Everything that, as you know, I've been asking of the wide players, that they're positive in possession of the ball. They go and look to get the opposition fullbacks and take us up the park. And from the first minute, Boniek was at the lad. I mean, we 13 corners in the game away from home, which tells you, obviously, I think, the dominance we had. And Boniek played a part in that. So every one of them were a credit to sell. Great to see Will Bruin back in amongst the goals. And I've got to say as well, Glenn, how that goal wasn't the goal of the week within MLS is beyond me. It wasn't even in the top five, so I found that bizarre. But from Giles breaking from the edge of his own box to the run, and by three or four of their players, and then his weighted pass to Will Bruin and the exquisite finish. I mean, it was a goal worthy to win any game.
Yeah, this was explosive. It was electric. The ball laid on, the quality of the finish, all the elements were there. And I mean, I think that's why we go to the stadium, right? We like to see these great attacking players like Giles unbridled and running at people.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's special when you have players of that caliber that can do that. And the great thing, obviously, the skipper was injured for the weekend with a tight hamstring. And obviously, Giles had the disappointment of missing penalty during the week. But we made him captain, and he really stepped up to the plate. And he showed what a wonderful Houston Dynamo player he is. So it was really, a terrific performance from all of them. But obviously, the fact that Giles had the disappointment of missing a penalty, it really showed his worth to the Dynamo.
I mean, there was just some amazing things that come out of a game like this. Before this, when I was talking about it, I think on the radio or somewhere, I said, boy, these are the kind of games that can be platform games. You know, you're going into a place where they've been on the road all year long. They've got a big crowd for their opener. Everybody's jacked up and hyped up. You have to go now without your captain. So you got another little bit of a problem there with the quality of a Brad Davis left home. But these are the kind of games that you can look back upon, and I guess you know this a lot better than I do, but you look across the locker room and guys can just say, this was a real galvanizing night for us.
Well, absolutely, Glenn. And I felt it was a real test, because you're right, everything that went against you, there was obviously, as I say, the disappointment of the fact that we played well but lost the game that we should have won at home. And so we had to, as I say, stand up and be counted, show their quality, not only as players, but show their quality as men, mental strength. And you mentioned the skipper was missing, and every one of them, stood shoulder to shoulder. And but what's important, Glenn, is that's got to be the catalyst for moving forward. And we know that over the course of time, we'll get where we need to be. But I've always said it's important that you're picking up points along the way while you're transitioning, while you're obviously having inherited the group that we did, while you're putting in place little things that you work in the training ground, taking that into games. And when all said and done, when over the course of time, we'll get where we need to be. But we want to be picking up those results while we're doing it. And then obviously performances like at Toronto will go a long way to help securing that.
And you've made it very clear, each and every week, it's looking for subtle improvement in areas. Now, you, from the minute you came to Houston, you've been talking about the wide game and that importance, because the wide game's got to obviously reflect and help other elements of your attack. Your wide game seems to be improving a lot. It seems like Boniek Garcia is now beginning to rev his engines a bit. You've gotten a lot out of Alexander Lopez. There's a lot of good things happening.
Well, I think so. And, on a daily basis, we see it. And I can see the improvement. I can see it coming. And sometimes it's a matter of inches as opposed to miles. But it's going in the right direction. And that's why, as I say, I'm excited about everything moving forward. But accepting, as we all know, that you want to be picking up results while you're doing that. But for us, the way we've set up, of course, we want those wide players to be positive, to get at the opposition fullback and take us up the pitch. Because when we do that, We then have space to play in. We know we can players that can cross the ball. We know players that can score the goals. But equally as well, we must make sure that we're always balanced, because the MLS is, and the thing is, I'm learning every day as well, Glenn, but you know, a lot of teams like to play with real pace in the counter-attack. So we have to make sure that we're secure in that, you know, against the ball as well. So it's getting that fine balance. But as I said before, that's a great challenge, and it's one we're very much up for.
He's Owen Coyle, the manager of the Houston Dynamo. A great 2-1 win against Toronto FC. Now, look, this weekend you get a nice visit from the Portland Timbers. Very dynamic team. They've gotten back the Argentine playmaker, the Portland Timbers. So, fans, get over to HoustonDynamo.com. You want to be at this one Saturday night. Also, you have the Houston Dash playing at BBVA Compass Stadium on Friday night. All right, you talked about mental strength, Owen, and boy, that is just, you know, that's an asset that everybody has to have in life. And you know, I saw mental strength today from Juventus against Real Madrid, and mental strength is something that's got to carry you through a season. And how do you implement that with the team? How do you continue to sort of work the mental side of the game with your players?
Well, it's a very good question, Glenn. And you know, as I do for the players in locker rooms, then you know, different people have different personality traits. But the one thing we all know, you know, at this level of sport, that there's going to be ups and downs. And the important thing is you stay balanced, you stay focused, and you have that mental capacity to bounce back from disappointments. And that's the thing we stress to the players. You know, it's all very well, and you know, it's easy to join in when everything's going well and everybody's the life and soul of the party. The true test of people's character, Glenn, is in difficult moments. That's, as I say, when you have to stand up, when you have to be united. And I seen that in that group on Sunday. I mean, that was a real test to go to Toronto. I mean, I think the budget is something like 7 or 8 times greater than ours. The Giovincos, the Bradleys, the Altidores, the financial investment they've made. 30,000, as you say, at the opening of the new stand, the party, carnival atmosphere. And we had to stand up in the midst of all that and show, do you know what? We're a good team in the making. It's just Dynamo. We know we've got progress to make. But at this moment, we can still win games within doing that. And that's what's pleasing. And that's where the mental strength comes in. Not only the quality of the ball, but the ability to stand up and say, okay, whatever comes my way, I'm going to deal with. And the players, I've got to say, they're the ones that deserve enormous credit for that.
You know, when I was watching the game, and this may not have come across to you, you're in the stadium and I'm at home watching the game on television, but I thought that you guys took the crowd out of the game, and not only took them out of the game, I almost think you created some self-doubt amongst the fans as to what their team was doing.
We felt that was going to be an important part, because we felt, you know, coming in, it was going to be, as you mentioned just previously, it was going to be a carnival atmosphere. They were all going to be singing and dancing and jumping through hoops. So what we had to do was look to start the game well and take the sting out of the game and show Toronto, hey, we're not here to make the numbers up, we're here to win a game. And that's what the players did. From the first whistle, we were in their faces, we were in about it, played at a real high intensity, and we really took the game to them. And I think, to be fair to Toronto fans, I think they really respected the quality that we brought. And they were very complimentary about it.
He's Owen Coyle, the manager of the Houston Dynamo. The Portland Timbers come to Houston. How about a word on Portland, Owen, and what you think about them? Certainly it is an athletic team and a lot of very skilled individuals who on their own can make things happen.
Well, absolutely. I mean, in Adi, they have a top striker, you know, a real number 9 that leads the line well, physical but good ability, pace. Valeri, as you mentioned, came in, scored a wonderful goal last week at Montreal. And Nagbe in the wide area, Wallace in the left, and obviously Sharon and Dewsbury in the middle. I mean, and I know Ridgewell from his time in the Premier League at the back. You know, so they have wonderful players and a good team. And we will give them, as we always do, the utmost respect. But the important thing is now, going for us, for our players to start getting that little bit of momentum. Let's go and win back-to-back and start moving on from there. And so it's a great opportunity, I think, to follow on from last week. But knowing we're going to have to be at our very best again. We're going to have to give the level of performance that we did at Toronto. But if we give that level of performance consistently, then there's no doubt in my mind that'll be able to win a lot of games.
Owen, how long do you allow a team to celebrate the success of a great road win? And then when do you begin to reboot them and go, look, Toronto is not going to mean as much to us unless we get a result against Portland? At what point do you do that?
Well, I think we've won the game and worked hard for it. I think we enjoy that moment for what it is. And then as soon as we're travelling back, I mean, our mind's on the Portland game. And the players have got to understand, they've got to be focused. We can't affect the Toronto game now, Glenn. It was great to go and give that performance. But it's what we do now moving forward. And obviously Saturday represents a really tough game against a good Portland side. A side in good form on the back of that Montreal win. But equally, we know we have the capability to win games in the league. We have good players. We have the makings because we're building it. Obviously, with the makings of building a good team, as you know, with the signing today of the young Colombian as well, Mauro Manotas. So it's really bit by bit. We're looking to build a young team with the balance, with the experienced players that can take the Houston Dynamo forward.
All right, so Portland, you know, defended pretty deep and then looked to break out against Montreal, very successful with it. Would you expect more of the same since they're coming off a positive result this weekend?
Yes, very much so. I would expect if everybody started, I would expect a very similar lineup to what they had at Montreal. And within that, we've got to understand that that's what they'll look to do in the transition with Nagbe and Wallace, who have got pace. Addy can hold the ball up. So again, that's something that we'll be speaking to the players about, that they're aware of that, knowing the threat from the opposition, but equally looking to express ourselves when we go on the ball, because we have players that can win games.
Mauro Manotas, you just mentioned him, 19 years old, Colombian. Tell us about this player, and I guess the one thing, you know, probably the fan base is going to want to know is this a signing for the here and now, or is this a signing that we're looking to nurture sort of over the future? How early or when do you want to get effective on-field playing out of this young man? Because we saw how long it took Fabian Castillo in Dallas to get into Major League Soccer as an 18-year-old. It took 3 years.
Well, that's right. It does take time, obviously, because they're young men coming from a different culture, a different country. But what we do know with young Mauro Manotas, he's already played at first-team level. He's already a proven goal scorer at that level in a very tough league. He scored goals in the under-20 tournament a couple of months ago. He actually scored against Brazil. So we know he has huge potential, Glenn. And it's one of those ones that as soon as he settles in and everything else, then I've got no doubt he's got a role to play. We obviously would love to think that he's going to be at that level straight away. But in reality, I think we know that it'll take a little bit of settling in and that transitional period. But we've got no doubts, you know, as time goes, he's going to be a huge asset to the Dynamo.
He's Owen Coyle. He's the manager of the Houston Dynamo. Last thing before I let you go, Owen, how about a thought on Juventus's wonderful, speaking of mental performance to eliminate Real Madrid at Real Madrid and advance to the Champions League final against Barcelona?
Well, I think you've summed up there, Glenn, because it was, wasn't it? Because for Real Madrid to get the goal with a penalty in the first half, and obviously at that time qualified, you know, on their away goals. But for Juventus, obviously, to keep playing to the game plan, keep passing, moving the ball, and obviously for Moratti to score a goal, having been a Real Madrid player, it kind of rubbed salt into the wounds. But there's no doubt it was a disciplined performance. Pogba was outstanding, played a huge role for them, and Buffon, when he had to make a couple of saves, did. So I think all in all, it was well-earned, well-deserved, and it makes for a fascinating final with Barcelona.
Do you think a game like that is a bit of a statement for the Italian Serie A, which, you know, has had its problems, obviously, with corruption and things, to have an Italian team like Juventus get to the final?
Well, I think what it does, it probably shows them that in terms of the Italian league and the standing, they're in a better place than they have been for many years. I think Real Madrid will be disappointed because, you know, they put themselves in such a fantastic position to be in the final against their rivals, Barcelona. But it's an opportunity they don't feel they've missed, but that should not diminish what Juventus have done tonight or take any credit away. Juventus were outstanding from start to finish and deserve to be in the final.
Well, listen, Owen, best of luck against Portland. Everybody looking forward to a big game Saturday night at BBVA Compass Stadium. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
Pleasure, Glenn. Speak to you soon.
He's the one and only Owen Coyle, the manager of the Houston Dynamo. Again, they are in action against the Portland Timbers Saturday night. Tickets are at HoustonDynamo.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Much more to go on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gow Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
1560 AM, Owen Coyle making some tactical moves here and moved out of the middle Raul Rodriguez and brought in David Horst to deal with the physical power of Jozy Altidore. Raul Rodriguez having an outstanding match in the right back position. And earlier this week down at training, I caught up with him.
All right, Raul, let's just talk about the significance and importance of this win in Toronto.
Well, obviously it's always important to win. But in this situation now, with the last three games, with probably not the best performance against Dallas, against Kansas. Probably not the same against San Jose. I think that we made a good game. Maybe we lost concentration in a couple of situations. But also I think that we make a step forward against San Jose. I think that we play better than the last two games at home, and I think that we deserve it. I mean, it's, as I told you, it's very important to win always, but when you're in the, you think that you can do it better, and the next game you make a step forward, but you not win. So you deserve these kind of situations when you. I think that we made a very complete game, and we deserve to win.
Overall mood of the team, I got to think this was a nice flight home from Toronto after this game.
Yes, it was. It was. As I told you, it's not easy when you. For example, these three last games with different situations. You're not playing good, and you lose. You're playing good, but you tie. You say tie in English. You tie, and in the last moment, it's tough to keep pushing. And against San Jose, we did it. We did a best game, very more complete game. But we were looking for a solid team, right? I think that we were looking for more defensive, more comfortable defending, right? You have to defend a lot of minutes on a game, so you have to feel comfortable. And I think that we felt like this the other day. Toronto is not an easy opening. It was a very beautiful scenario and a very good moment to show us, to prove us that we can play like that, be comfortable defending and at the same time win.
He's Raul Rodriguez joining us here on ESPN Radio. All right, you moved to the right back position. This is something you've done before, though, in Spain, correct? So this was a comfortable move for you.
Yes. The truth is that it's not so different from my normal position, and central defender, defensive in a defensive way is very similar. The concepts are very close to that, and at the same time you have more responsibility of in an offensive sense. But I mean, I feel comfortable. I'm a lucky guy because I have the confidence of the coach and of the staff. So I always want to play, right? So it doesn't matter the place. But I feel comfortable. I mean, Dave made the work so easy for me. He was talking all the time. He was organizing. And I think that, as I told you before, we were comfortable defending. And that's the thing that I felt as well. So, as I told you, for me, it doesn't matter. Always, I want to participate. I want to help the team. And it doesn't matter for me one position or another.
So, Raul, this is a big win. But now it's equally as important here to get a result now against Portland, almost to make this one even more valuable.
That's the thing. For me, when you are making steps forward, you can't stop. You have to continue at least looking for that kind of performance. You never know the game, all the games, you know. I mean, you can get lost concentration. You can have a lot of opportunities as we have in other games and don't score. These kind of things can happen, but you have to look for this kind of performance where a lot of things are, on your side, and it's going to be more probable that you win. So if we keep pushing in that same level, I think that we are going to win a lot of games. And at the same time, this game against Portland, they are a very tough team. I saw them playing, and it's not going to be easy. The next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it's going to be tough. And we have to look for this kind of performance, this kind of level, because in this level we are a very hard team.
What are your thoughts on Portland? You've seen them. Give me a couple of things that stick out to you about their team.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind is very quick guys, very strong. In a physics sense, they are very powerful. And then offensively, I think that they have a very good team. It's maybe not similar, but for example, Toronto, they have a very powerful offensive team. And maybe they are less defensive. They suffer when they are defending. And probably we're going to find a very close situation where you have to be solid and be comfortable defending, but knowing as well that you're going to have a lot of opportunities probably, and you have to be effective. That's probably a big key that we can forget, the thing of be effective, because you never know how many options are you going to have. So you have to be, as I told you, solid and effective. I think that we, as I said, we have we did a step forward in this sense, and we have to keep in the same line.
How's Houston been to you? I know you've only been here a short amount of time. Do you like the city?
Yes, I like it. To be honest with you, I'm afraid. I mean, I'm scared because I love everybody saying that the weather is going to be tough in the last month. So I'm a little bit scared because of the moment of the practice. And but now, so far, it's been. I mean, I'm comfortable. The club is helping me a lot with everything. So I'm just, you know, enjoying the city.
Raul, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
So that was Raul Rodriguez. But David Horst silently has been having an exceptional season for the Houston Dynamo, whether as a starter or off the bench. In this case, a starter in Toronto, and one of his big jobs was to set the tone in the middle against the power and strength of Jozy Altidore. I also caught up with David Horst.
It's been an indifferent year for you because you've come off the bench, performed excellent. You've started. This was a nice matchup you had with Jozy Altidore. Speak a little bit about that and what you thought going into this game about how to defend, you know, a big, powerful striker.
You know, Jozy, he's going to go down as probably one of the best American forwards ever in history for us. So I think it was a great measuring stick for me personally, for our defense, and for us as a team defensively. And I thought we came out and we executed our game plan, you know, perfectly with keeping them in front of us, not letting, you know, getting physical with Jozy, getting physical with Giovinco. And, you know, we did that all game long. And I think it knocked them off their game a little bit.
Yeah, when you beat a team that's got Michael Bradley, Giovinco, Jozy Altidore, this is a big win. You're beating a team with a lot of attacking capability. You controlled these three for the most part the entire night. It seemed, apart from the final 13, 14 minutes, it got a little hectic. It seemed to me you guys really controlled this game for the majority of the match.
Yeah, you know, we know that Michael Bradley likes to look for the slide, Jozy, you know, between the defenders. So we were very, very aware of Jozy making those runs through. And Josie's a very, very physical player. And we knew, Jermaine and I knew, that we could match up physically with him. And so we didn't give him anything easy all night long. And that's what we wanted to do, was always push him backwards and never give him a good look at goal. And then, you know, same thing with Giovinco, who's a smaller player. And we knew, you know, we got a few kicks in there. You know, we push him around a little bit, that, you know, he's not going to want to come around us very much in that game. And as the game wore on, he slid more and more backwards to get the ball and drifted out wide a little bit. And, you know, that's what our game plan was.
He's David Horst. He's joining us here tonight, partnered with Jermaine Taylor in defense. Raul Rodriguez went into the right back position. Excellent defensive effort in this game. Speak to me a little bit about Toronto FC and the fact that you guys, I think, have had great starts on the road from what I've seen. L.A., Seattle, D.C. all come to mind. Is there something about being on the road that maybe you get off to better starts than at home? What's that all about, or am I barking up the wrong tree here?
No, I think you definitely are on to something there this year. You know, it's funny because last year, you know, we were always great at home and we're terrible on the road. And this year, you know, we've really picked up our road performance, but now, you know, at home we haven't done as well. So I think if we can start, you know, putting these performances together on the road and put some performances together at home, we're really going to be a team to be reckoned with. But this year, I think we have a lot more cohesiveness, a lot more experience on the road. We know what we want to do. And sometimes when you have a home game, you want to open the game up a little bit. You want to play soccer. You want to excite the fans. And I think we've got caught up a little bit in that. And, you know, two games there back-to-back, we gave up four goals in each game. And I think both times, you know, we got a little opened up and we're trying to score goals instead of, you know, preventing goals. At the end of the day, if you keep a zero, you don't lose the game. And I think, you know, if we start doing that, you know, locking it down at home like we did at the beginning of the year, you know, we're going to be a lot better going forwards. And like I said, you know, if we can put away performances and home performances together, you know, we're going to start climbing up the table here.
All right, Portland Timbers, a team you know, you played there. Talk a little bit about a lot of attacking talent, a lot of individuals, and also a team that looked pretty compact defensively against Montreal on the road. Kind of played a little bit for the counterattack as well.
Yeah, they have excellent experience in the back with Ridgewell and Borchers, and then very, very exciting up top for them between Nagby, Adi, Rodney Wallace, Diego Valera, who's, you know, just come back into the mix for them. And they're going to be very dangerous going forward. They're very, very tricky, and you know, with Adi up there, he's very powerful, very fast, very physical. You know, he's another guy. He's a guy who plays a lot like Jozy. He's very big, very physical. He's going to match up, you know, pretty well with Jermaine and I physically. And they're going to want to play through him. They're going to want to keep the ball up top. So, you know, once again, you know, I said Toronto was a good measuring stick for us. You know, Portland brings a different dynamic to the game. But I think once more, you know, it'll be a very good measuring stick for us defensively, you know, with a possession-based, you know, team.
In order to get the full value out of Toronto, you guys need a result Saturday against Portland, don't you?
Definitely. You know, we've got a little bit of momentum here on the road, and we need to carry that through to this weekend. You know, if we don't do well this weekend against Portland, then the game against Toronto was for nothing. You know, we need to start building momentum. We need to put, you know, we need to put performances together back to back. You know, we can't have a good performance every three or four games. You know, we need to start putting these performances together, you know, three in a row, four in a row, because that's how you tell if a team is good. That's how you tell if we should be winning championships at the end of the year. And ultimately, we need to do that to climb the table and get into the playoffs first.
Well, David Horst will be looking forward to Saturday's match because it is against his former team, the Portland Timbers. And again, we remind you, get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com for both the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash. This game you can also catch on Root Sports. Eddie Robinson and I will have the call of the game. It'll be right here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM, with Matt Peterson. We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. I'm Glenn Davis.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gow Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, joining us now, one of the most artistic, creative central midfield players in Major League Soccer. He is with the Portland Timbers. He is Diego Valeri. Diego, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Hi, how are you? Thanks.
I'm glad to have you on. All right, so let's just talk about the long road back from injury. You finally get back. You score a wonderful goal against Montreal. This must make you feel very good after the rehabilitation of the injury.
Yes, of course. You know, I was lucky to score, but the most important for me, you know, is the team. And we won that game, and that made me happy. And I'm feeling healthy after the game. I felt good, so that's the most important, you know. And yes, I'm back, and I'm trying to enjoy every game.
As a footballer, when you're injured like that, you're kind of on the outside of the team. Does your mind begin to think things, you know? Do you worry about your career? Or is it just all full speed ahead doing the rehab?
No, you know, during the rehab, it was everything, you know, went well. So I was quiet about that, so I was very confident in the medical staff, in the rehab, and I worked hard, and everything was good. So I was just thinking in the first game, and trying to help the team.
Diego, how much responsibility do you feel being a leader of the Portland Timbers with your experience, with your abilities?
Oh, it's a good responsibility. You know, it's a good pressure. I like that because sometimes that happens. It's not naturally when you have been playing a lot of years in professional soccer into the team. You are like a leader, but for me, it's good. You know, I try to be one more into the team, and I try to work hard and show the weight in that way. You know, and just working, just being a good person, a good player, and that's good for me. It's a good pressure, but it's normal.
He's Diego Valeri, the Portland Timbers attacking player, just made his way back from injury. One of the most exciting talents in all of Major League Soccer. All right, are you excited to see more and more Argentine players coming to this league and playing in MLS?
Of course. I know that the Argentinian players can give a lot of things to the league, you know, because they are quality players, passionate players. So I'm really happy to see a lot of Argentinian players playing now in MLS, and hopefully a few more can come.
Do a lot of them now recognize this league more because of players like you coming here? And are there more and more Argentine players that would like to come to the United States and play in Major League Soccer?
Of course, yes. In Argentina, it's getting famous every day, the MLS. Like I say always, you know, this league will be famous in a couple of years in the whole world. But now, naturally, in Argentina, because you have a lot of Argentinian players playing here, every day is getting famous.
Diego, I want my listeners to understand the pressure that goes along with playing in Argentina, and it's pressure that sometimes concerns you about your own physical well-being and your family's well-being. And I know you've talked to me about this before, but it is a different kind of pressure when there is a worry about yourself physically, you know, when you don't win games and because of how incredibly over the top the fans are.
Yes, it's a little bit different, very different. You know, the pressure there is sometimes too much, you know, and the people and the players too, sometimes they are making mistakes about that because, you know, it's just soccer and you have to understand that. Sometimes the people doesn't understand that, and that make the soccer is like a show crazy, you know, so... you know, it's very different. Sometimes you are really scared about your family, about you, and that's, you know, it's like a war. So it's very different. It's very different. Like I have to say that we have to change that. You know, in Argentina we have to change that, and we have to take examples like MLS.
Do the supporters down there sometimes, if you guys don't put in the effort, don't win a game, do they think you're kind of entitled because you're the professional soccer players, whereas you guys may just think, well, you know, we're doing a job as well. We just may not have done it that good today. But do they sometimes think you're privileged?
Maybe, yes, but that's a mistake. You know, obviously we are privileged because we are soccer players, but you know, like you say, it's a job too. So, and sometimes you can't do everything well, and you can't win every game, and the people make that mistake, you know. And sometimes that is bad because you know, whole people wants to win. We, you know, the players wants to win too. So. We have to take care about that in Argentina, and we have to change a lot of things to get the identity that the Argentinian soccer has.
Tell me about your team and the athleticism and the quality of the players on your team, and just sort of relate the style that the Portland Timbers play to maybe when you were in Argentina.
I'm sorry?
Can you relate the style of the Portland Timbers and MLS to the playing style of Argentina?
Yes, you know, looking at our team, we have a lot of things similar that, you know, some teams in Argentina. We want to keep possession. We want to attack, and we want to be tactically sitting well. You know, so for me, we have a good identity when you know, like than the Argentinian, some Argentinian teams have. So if you know, it's hard to compare sometimes, but I think we are prepared to play in Argentina too.
When you were young, and this is our last question, we'll let you go, Diego.
Yeah.
When you were young, who encouraged you to be a player that took other players on? Who encouraged you from the creative side of things?
I think, are you saying like a model?
Yeah, well, did you have a youth coach, or was there somebody particular that, you know, kind of symbolically led you to being the player you are?
Yes, we, you know, for me, one of the most important people to encourage me when I was young, it was coach. When I was like 10 years old, I had a coach, it's called Jorge. He was amazing coach, and a lot of things that I do now is about him. You know, is from him. So I'm really thankful with him, and I like a young coach. You know, he was amazing.
Is he? Do you still stay in touch with him?
Yes, but just a bit. You know, he's old. He's getting old, so and he's living in Argentina. So we lose contact, but. Obviously, I sometimes say so with him.
Okay. Diego, thank you very much for coming on the show. We appreciate your time, and best of luck this season in Major League Soccer.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, he's a very talented Diego Valeri. He's back. He will be here with the Portland Timbers. We'll take a break here. Coming back with much, much more.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste. Cereal. Coffee. Dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.